I will call the Tuesday, August 5th, Committee of the Whole meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We have some Boy Scouts here who would ask to come forward and lead us, please. First order of business is item two, economic development, promoting, funding, realizing, and retaining economic development in furtherance of community health, safety, and welfare, and quality of life, and the diversification and bolstering of development tax base for a secure economic future. We have two presentations this evening. The first item is community retail, economic development needs, and satisfaction. Did you write this?
I did not.
Kim Hanzel, Director of Sales and Community Identification for Buxton Company. Kim, please come forward. And please let us have your name and address for the record and go for it.
Name and address? I'm Kim Hanzel. I'm with Buxton. Our address is 3651 South Polaris in Fort Worth, Texas. And I've got Cody Howell with me as well.
Welcome. Thank you.
Mayor and Alderperson, thank you so much for having us tonight. Okay, sorry. Is that better?
Yeah.
Thank you for having us here tonight. It's an honor to be here with you. The reason that we are here is to talk to you more in depth about who Buxton is, what we do, and how we do what we do. In being aggressive in retail recruitment and business development in your community will achieve a better, an improved quality of life for your citizens, as well as allowing you to have some tools to help the local businesses that you have in place build their business, know what their consumers need, and grow their business, as well as increasing tax-based revenue. So a partnership with Buxton will achieve these three items. Who Buxton is. So Buxton, for the last 20 years, is a trusted advisor to many of the top retail brands that you see here. National, local, regional retailers and restaurants. We have partnered with over 3,000 of these retailers. We know how retailers think. We know what makes them tick. We understand what they need as far as finding out who their best consumers are and what community their consumers are in. So, for example, Trader Joe's, traditionally only located in California, when they wanted to expand across the nation, they partnered with Buxton because we could tell them who their best customers and what they looked like and what communities they were in. So when they opened a new location, it was a home run location. Well, about 12 years ago, we realized that communities could value and benefit from the same consumer answers and consumer information. So over the last 12 years, we have partnered with over 670 communities to fill those empty retail spaces, to build new retails or restaurants on the land. Some communities that you see here, Rochester, New Hampshire, They don't have local sales tax, but they were able to find the retailers, go after the right retails, identify what retailers their citizens were able to sustain in that community. And they are partnering with us again. In fact, they did their own analysis, and for every dollar they spent with Buxton, they earned $91 annually. So our partnerships with these communities, we understand how how to identify your citizens as consumers. And we're well recognized in what we do. So I show you this slide here, not to be boastful or to brag, but to help you understand. We are not a mom and pop shop. We have headquarters in Fort Worth with over 130 employees. The majority of those employees take all this consumer information and data about your citizen and turn it into answers for your community, the answers that the retailers are going to ask you. Retailers and restaurants are going to want to know who your citizens are as consumers, where they are, what do they need, and how are those needs going to change over time. As your community grows and changes, we are able to answer those questions as well. Part of a partnership with Buxton, we're going to help you think like a retailer. That's twofold here. To help you recruit the right retail for your community, to cut that retail leakage, to keep your local dollars local. We're also going to help you empower you with the tools that you need to help those current businesses understand their own individual leakage, how they can stop their consumers and their citizens from shopping elsewhere, what to stock their shelves with. So thinking like a retailer goes beyond your basic demographics that you see here. Demographics here only tell me a piece of the story. If I'm a restaurant or a retailer, this information doesn't tell me that you're going to shop in my shop or eat in my restaurant. For example, these neighbors here around this particular site look very similar demographically, same age range, same marital status. A partnership with Buxton, we go in, we're going to peel back those rooftops. We're going to help you understand that now those who looked demographically the same shop and behave and buy things very differently from each other. So, for example, if I'm a movie theater and I'm thinking about coming to your community, not only am I going to want to see more Tom Kings than Ben Shaw's, because Tom takes his three children and his wife out to the movie, but do you have enough Tom Kings to sustain my business at this site? So that's the power. We get to that granular level. We get down into that household to even be able to tell you maybe the husband likes Maker's Mark while the wife likes a Pinot Noir. That's the powerful data that we have to help you understand your citizens as the consumers that they are. You may wonder, how does Buxton know all of this about your household or our households? We are one of the largest purchasers from more than 250 different data sources. When you fill out a warranty card for the snowblower, join a gym, sell a house, buy a house, we leave that trail of information behind us every day. We bring that information into our headquarters in Fort Worth. We use our proprietary software. We validate that data. We segment that data. We have over 130 analysts working on that data to update it every 8 weeks, turn all that information into answers for your community. Once we understand who your citizens are as that consumer base and how they behave as consumers, we then want to determine your drive time trade area. So now we're going to open these political boundaries and increase that population for that particular site. We're going to understand in minutes and not miles how far, how many minutes consumers and citizens are willing to drive for the goods and services that they need. Once we understand that day in and day out customer base, we're going to marry that together with all of that consumer information that we've discovered. Now, Franklin has its unique DNA, its unique thumbprint that's different than any other community across the nation. Retailers have their own unique thumbprint of who their consumers are. So we're going to take your thumbprint and that consumer base that those retailers are looking for. We're going to match them to over 6,000 retailers in the U.S., national, regional, and local. But we don't stop there. We're going to scrub this list down. You know, maybe IKEA would be a fit. However, you don't have the space for an IKEA. So we're not going to add that to your retail match list. Maybe Gap is expanding in the community. Maybe Ruth Chris is looking at your community. or would be a fit for your community. But maybe they don't have a successful store operating in a community that's similar to yours. So once we narrow down this list and truly understand those retailers that have the highest probability for that long-term sustainability to come to your community, this is actually where that partnership begins. We're not going to put this in a binder or in a folder and it's going to sit on your shelf. We are going to partner with you and make this actionable. We are going to help you reach out to those retailers. Help those retailers understand that you've done your homework. Here is why Franklin is a match for you to come to my city. We have the consumer base that you need, so when you open up, you are a home run location. Retailers are not pioneers. They don't want to take any chances. So we help you reach out to that real estate decision maker, work with the developers to understand what retail or that this retail is a match for this location. We're going to provide you a tool called Scout, which I'll go through here in just a minute, to make this an actionable partnership. We help you at ICSC conferences. If you're not familiar with ICSC, that is where it's a big show in Vegas. We help you set those appointments with these potential retailers, moving you up the list. Maybe they're looking to expand and your community might be number 1,000. Let's move you up the list and we help you with that. Everything that we do is up-to-date research. What you can take by using our Scout tool is you can go to these businesses that are currently in place, help them understand their market intelligence specific to their business, provide them with what their consumers look like and are looking for, help them understand how to better stock their shelves. What is their retail leakage? Do they need to carry more clothing, more baby clothes? You'll also be able to tell them, looking at the citizens around their businesses, you'll be able to help them understand, well, maybe if I stock swim diapers, this brand, I'll sell more. Because you have the answers to tell them that their citizens will buy more of that brand than any other brand. So that'll help the current businesses that are in place as well. We also provide demographics for that historic and projected workforce information as well. So that moves me into how we make this actionable with you. We're going to provide you an iPad. You're going to be able to access this tool, Scout, from a desktop, the iPad, and your smartphone. Scout is all of these answers that we're talking about here, all of this consumer information about your citizens at the touch of a button. 24/7 access, easy to use. This is actually an extension of us. So when you tap on a button, you'll be able to tell that local business owner and highlight that drive time trade area around each of the locations and where you're standing. You'll be able to pull that retail match list up. Maybe somebody in the community you meet with or say, well, what retail is going to fill that space? You can actually show them, you know, who you're targeting and why that particular retailer is a fit for this community and why you're actually going to pursue them. All of this information at your fingertips, the match report to show how strong of a match your trade area is to that retailer's network. From any location within it, maybe you're out at a site, you can do what we call geolocate. Show that retailer, restaurant, who their competitors are in the area and where they're located. Again, showing the answers of the buying habits of the potential customers, which products to carry on their shelves, how they like to be marketed to, what type of media they see. So that is the actionable part of a partnership with Buxton by using Scout. We are third-party unbiased information. All of our data and our consumer information is fact-based. We don't rely on surveys. Surveys tend to be on the more emotional side. You know, if I'm hungry and you ask me what type of restaurant I want to see in the community, ask me next week, it might be different. So our data is fact. We understand what your citizens actually spend their money on versus what they say they want to spend their money on. We are an extension of your staff, and we are not looking to fill an empty space. We want to match your community to that retailer for that long-term sustainability. We are looking to fill a space, just not any, you know, with just any retailer. I misspoke there for a second. You've got a team of dedicated retail professionals. We know how retailers think. You're going to get an account manager that will work hand in hand with your community so that our success depends upon your success. There's going to be open communication to get the information and the answers that you need. A partnership with Buxton, cut that retail leakage, keep those local dollars local. We're going to expand with sustainable retail options, increase the revenue from the cities, from the utilities and the city fees, improve that property value. Improving the quality of life, you know, creates an attractive environment for growth, and again, help you retain and support your local business. Any questions?
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, I wanted to know about how the how about the program interacts, you know, the iPad, and how you provide training for that, because you can have this and it's like no one's trained how to use it, and a little bit more about the account manager person.
Right, great question. So part of your team, of course, would be myself and Cody. The important player of your team is your account manager. His name is Eric Brown. We have Scout training twice a month on Thursdays. And one is an application-based training, and then one is just purely how to use it. So how to get those reports that you need at the touch of a button, where they come from. In fact, before we start even getting the answers into the Scout program, you're going to work with Eric to determine what sites are you thinking about. Where are you thinking? Give us three sites to evaluate. Let's talk about that. What type of retailer are you thinking you need? And it's really he calls you often, and you set appointments and you communicate with him.
The tool itself is very, very simple to use in and of itself. It's it literally, you can see it mimics any app that's out there. So she showed you the example of Market Trader. It's very simple to come in, touch the button, the tool will automatically find where you're at. It's going to turn on to illustrate what is your market trade area. So then you can start to illustrate that market validation to retailers or existing businesses. In terms of those specific retailers that we find to be the good, strong match, all of that information is loaded as well. So at the simple touch of a button, you can now see in this demo example all of the specific retailers that are a good, strong fit that the recruitment efforts should be on, proactively recruiting these. So these are retailers that maybe currently are not considering opening a location here, or maybe they are 3, 4, 5 years in advance, but through focusing proactively on them, you're able to effectively recruit them sooner. All the information that those retailers want and need to see preloaded into this tool. You can access this interface from any desktop. It's not just limited to the mobile device. It's not just limited to anything of that nature. Anywhere you have an internet connection, you can log into this. It's cloud-based, so it's very, very simple to use. All the information for you to effectively articulate that story to the retailer that you are a viable possibility for their concept, it's all in this tool, and it's regularly updated. As far as using the tool, again, you've got a dedicated account executive working on your behalf that's constantly in communication with you, jumping on phone calls with you with retailers if that's needed. Whatever the case may be, that individual is held accountable to that.
Thanks. Alderman Mayer.
Three questions. One, the cost. Two, typically in a community, who has that iPad? Who uses it? And number three, what guarantees do you offer? How are you held accountable?
Sure. All great questions. So I'll start with, and remind if I'm missing any of these, I'll start with the cost piece of that. To go through the complete analysis, we go through, just like Kim walked you through, narrow that down to that target list, develop this tool. You're looking at $50,000 annually. Now, we typically partner on multi-year basis. We do that because retailers are laying out their growth strategies 18, 24 months in advance. So it is it's a strategy. It's a plan. It's not a short-term objective that you can expect to get huge returns in a matter of, 30, 45 days. It's a development strategy. So you're looking at $50,000 annually. Now, we do understand, obviously, you go through annual budgeting, objectives, things, change, and so forth. So there are provisions in place that you can evaluate year over year the performance and choose to move forward or not move forward. In terms of who uses the tool, who implements, we've seen it a number of ways over the years. Certain communities, they have obviously economic development individuals that are dedicated solely to economic development. Some we see housed within an economic development committee. We even see some where the mayor or the city manager is held accountable for that, or they're the ones tasked with that. So it's a variety of different individuals. We find it best when, as a unified force, you're all focused on the retail recruitment. In other words, that shows to the retailer that you are open for business, you're retailer friendly, and that you want them to come to your community. There was one more in there, and I guess the success guarantees. I can't guarantee you at the end of the day that you'll get any certain number of retailers to come here. There's a lot of interaction from you guys that obviously plays into this, and what I mean by that is we've seen communities before not be retail friendly. In other words, they'll kind of take the mindset that XYZ retailer, if you want to come to my community, you're going to come here under my terms. The reality is retailers have many options across the country to locate. So many times they'll just, kind of take the stance of, well, I'm not going to go through the hassle of that. I'll go to the neighboring community. I can guarantee you that we're going to provide all the tools necessary to be successful. I can guarantee you that we are there as a partner for you, just like we have for hundreds of other clients over the last 12 years. All of our clients are wildly successful. We've got case study after case study that we can provide to you that shows the success that communities see with us.
Alderman Schmidt, Alderman Evans, then
First of all, thank you for making the trip up here. We appreciate you speaking to us. Just a couple of things. Given that the economy goes through ups and downs, do you have a calculated estimation as to where we stand on this curve now? Is the retail market appearing to be on the cusp of growing, or where is it in the spectrum of economic success these days?
It's a great question. Prior to 2007, 2008, it was a different market. You had retailers just vastly open locations anywhere. Things changed after 2008. What we're seeing in the retail as a whole is that retailers are now much more selective and strategic about where they open locations. In other words, they're not just going out and finding empty space that fits the bill. They're doing a tremendous amount of analysis determine, is this going to be a long-term viable location? As Kim shared earlier, we're the ones providing a lot of those insights to them. We're seeing, obviously, certain retail categories expand at a much higher rate now than others are. Certain concepts, Whole Foods concepts, things of that nature expanding. You're seeing a lot of discount retailers like Dollar General, Family Dollar, things like that expanding. A lot of your health concepts are really starting to expand. Plus, a lot of fast casual restaurants are starting to expand. So think of these of like your Chipotle's, things of that nature, to where it is pay before you dine, but it is sort of, it's still a sit-down dining experience.
Relating to that, then, the you work with all these different committees with different economic incentives or whatever. What do you feel is it a significant role if there's a TID district, a tax incremental district available to relate to retailers, and what do the retailers look for as a turnaround time if they become interested in a location?
Yeah, another great question. So incentives definitely are a component to retail recruitment. However, they're not always a must. the incentive at its root is meant to help that retailer get over a short-term sales challenge. So maybe these things are road construction or infrastructure costs or things of that nature that's going to help them get over a sales hurdle. We've seen many times that incentives are needed to be necessarily simply because a neighboring community offers them or whatever the case may be. Now, there are certain retailers that are more destination retailers. So think of these as your huge big boxes, your IKEAs, things of that nature. There's definitely a huge incentive component to those type of retailers. But they're not always necessary. The biggest thing is being able to prove to that retailer the viability of your community for a location.
Alderwoman Evans.
Can you differentiate the consumer that enjoys shopping on the internet with accuracy compared to the one that, you know, you said you use warranty cards and things like that. So do you take stock of that?
Absolutely. So every household in the United States is classified into a specific market segment based off of how we live our life, how we spend our money, what stage of life we are in, what are our media preferences, how do we purchase goods and services. There's certain segments out there that are known to be online shoppers. There's other segments out there that are known to be your traditional brick-and-mortar shopper. There's other segments that like to go in, touch and feel the merchandise, and then go home and purchase. All of that is the evaluation, the analysis part of this, where we go in and see who is your consumer base. Do you have more of the online shoppers, or do you have more of your traditional brick-and-mortar shoppers?
Well, how do you do that accurately, though?
So, again, it's all based off of all the different data components that are out there. So, again, we source over 250 different data sets. We have actual household-level data on over 130 million households. In the data world, there's modeling components to data that says your lifestyle behaviors look similar or exactly like this household's lifestyle behaviors that we have known factors on. So you're bucketed in those manners based off of how you live your life and how you spend.
If it helps a little bit, Visa is one of our partners, one of our many partners.
Okay.
So when you swipe that Visa card, and we did choose Visa over American Express or MasterCard to partner with, but that's an example. You know, when you hit, maybe you have a PayPal account. Well, what type of consumers all have PayPal accounts, and what segmentation are they in? So that, if that helps, kind of clarify. Okay, here's my credit card swipe. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Dandrea, and then Alderman Schmidt.
One of the questions that I had was, can you tell us a little bit about, or give us a little history on, the average time a community will utilize your services? And some will utilize it, and then they'll go off. So what would be the average time that a community will use your services?
Great question. We've had communities. In fact, Watertown, South Dakota, they partnered with us probably 6 years ago for the 3 years. Worked, went aggressively after retail. They've expanded. They've grown. Now they want to know, okay, what's that next level of retail we need? What does our consumer, what do our citizens look like now? So they're re-partnering with us after about a two or three-year break. Rochester, New Hampshire as well, they just re-upped their 3 years with us again. Some communities, they do the 3 year, and that's about the average, is 3 years. And then they come back maybe 3 or 4 years later.
So the initial contract is for a 3 year period.
We do like to partner for 3 years.
For 3 years, and then you look at reevaluating that contract after that. And they're usually in 3 year increments, or after that, do they go up annually?
They do not go up annually. And when we say a 3 year partnership, what we're doing is that year one, we're going to communicate, okay, here's three sites that we're looking at filling space for. Which one do we want to focus on year one? Let's get all of that information. Let's start that process. Let's start talking to those retailers that'll fit there. Year two, let's look at the next site. let's refresh all of this information and get all the newer data, an additional data for the different site that we're looking at. Year three, same thing. So at the end of a three-year partnership, you're starting to communicate with retailers, maybe 10, 20, or 30, but you're going to have a list of 70 retailers that have the highest probability of coming to your community.
Okay.
Alderman Schmidt, then Alderman Mayer.
Obviously, each community you work with has its own demographics. Franklin being a growing community of 35,000 plus, where would that fit into the spectrum of a lot of your clients as far, you know, are you working with communities that have 100,000 or small towns, or the amount of leakage that they've lost business and they're trying to restore it, whereas we're kind of on the cusp in between of trying to minimize leakage and expand our growth?
Right. Great question. So we work with communities as small as 1,600, all the way up to the big communities like L.A., Atlanta. And each community is unique like yours. It's a matter of understanding what that leakage is and how to fix it. Kingsport, Tennessee, they're a community of about 45,000. Year one that they partnered with us, they realized that they were losing money to oil changing and maintenance places. They got a quick car. That quick car started bringing in $1 million, I think, the first year. Does that help?
Sure. Alderman Mayer.
I think we kind of skirted this issue a little bit. $50,000 per year. Your initial commitment is 3 years.
It is, so we structure our initial partnership in a three-year agreement. However, there's provisions in place that year over year at the anniversary date, so at the anniversary date of year two, and then again at year three, you can evaluate, and you have an option period to say, you know what, we're not going to continue forward. We don't feel that we're getting the value out of this, or maybe our objective, our focuses have changed. So you can evaluate that year over year during that three-year partnership.
So even the first year, you can evaluate that.
After the end of the first year, that's correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
In your data analysis, when you produce a market, a trade area report, where does that data is concentrated in what? In just the trade area, or does it take into account competitive markets?
So
I didn't get a good
question. There's a couple of pieces there. So
that's a great question.
In defining what your true market trade area is, we're looking at a number of different factors. We're looking at your existing surrounding retail landscape. We're looking at how is the household density within your community situated. We're looking at road networks. We're looking at a number of different factors that we're able to put statistical analysis behind, saying this is your true retail trade area. This is how a retailer is going to evaluate you. So competition is a piece of that process.
Okay. So the net of that is, yes, you would take into account that the largest shopping mall in the state is 2 miles up the road.
Absolutely.
Anyone else?
Okay.
There are quite a few people that do have or involvement with retail in the audience. I don't know, since we have them here, if there's a specific question that they might want.
We've got a long agenda, but it's your meeting. Mr. Roberta.
I have two questions. I'll keep them to the mic. In the one example you gave, you suggested that you sort of do one business per year, the next year you move on to the next. I assume if you manage to match somebody up and it fills quickly, you start moving on to the next place right away. A lot can happen in 3 years, not just one
business
per year. Is that
right? Absolutely. We're going to pare that full match list down to the sub. So it's not just one per year. We're looking at one trade area, so to speak, one market, so to speak, to match retailers to. So it's not just one retailer. It's one specific area we're looking at. And then we're identifying the subset of the most likely retailers for that respective trade area.
And that answers then the second question I had, because the example again made it sound like you focus on one site at a time and then move on, whereas we're interested in more in selling sort of the community finding, filling, addressing more than one spot at a time. You would look at it in trade areas and try to fill in a whole area.
That's exactly right. And a piece of that, too, is within that trader. Maybe there's multiple sites to fill. Maybe there's vacant space now, and it's a specific square footage. All of that goes into this as well, as far as rising to the top, what retailers are most likely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
One question from me. To be clear, you don't make contact with retailers. You provide the contact information for ostensibly us to make contact.
We help you with that process. So we start, help you guys bridge that gap with the communication to the retailer. So we reach out on your behalf initially to the main decision maker within each retailer. We also provide you that contact information for follow-up purposes. The ongoing, if there's one specific retailer, we're just not getting interaction with, we continue working on your behalf to get you into contact with that retailer.
Is that communication in the form of we're working with the following communities who are interested with you, please meet with them and you give them a list of 15 communities, or as an individual, we're representing the city of Franklin?
It's on your behalf, so it's specific to Franklin.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay.
Yes, I like the fact you mentioned your third party, that we've always tried to look at people from the outside a little bit more lately, and that's really appreciated that you came in and brought your information with you and share it with us. So we do have someone else if you want to stay and listen to the presentation. And maybe at that point, if there's some of the people here that are with development that might have a couple questions, if it fits in, and you could chime in at that point if it's fitting. Thank you
very much. Second section on this is a presentation by Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Catherine Berger. And we're going to take a moment for a flash drive change, I take it. So welcome, appreciate your time, happy that you're here, and whenever you're ready, we're ready.
Wilhelm, and to the mayor for inviting me here. I am Catherine Berger from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and I'm here to talk to you about just some resources that WEDC has to offer to communities and businesses for economic growth. As some of you may know, WEDC is the state's lead economic development organization. We were formed in 2010 with the election of Governor Walker, and we are so we're a very new agency. At the time, we were formed out of the Department of Commerce. At that time, we had approaching 400 employees, and missions of those employees at the time had to do with regulatory functions, and those were outsourced to other departments in state government, and then we just kept the main economic development functions within the new WEDC. And that led us to a point where we had about 60 employees from 400, and now we are up to about 100 employees. I came into WEDC in January 2013, but this is not my first go-round with the parent organization. I worked with the Department of Commerce back when my son, who is now a college student, was a baby. And so this is my second time with the Department of Commerce and WEDC. Before I go into our specific programs, I just want to talk a little bit about our mission. We are here to elevate Wisconsin's business climate, creating a healthy environment for businesses to succeed and to create jobs. Our priorities are formed through input from the businesses and communities that we work with. Our structure allows us to be somewhat adaptable so that we can respond quickly to changing needs in the economy and in communities. And we can add new programs to meet market demands. That's because we receive from the legislature what is essentially a block grant. And and that is then allocated among various programs through this kind of demand analysis. Versus in the past, the legislature would provide a budget line item for every program and set program parameters. And that meant if there was a program that was not responsive to business or community needs, those funds would not be able to be used by any business or community through a different program. In our current structure, we're able to use all of the resources allocated to us in high-demand programs, and if there are programs that are needing tweaking or not meeting the needs of communities, then we are the funds from those programs can be allocated to the programs where there's more demand. This is just a graphic that kind of shows what our agency does. We have programs that are meant to accelerate business growth. Those are for startup and technology companies. An area that works with existing companies on exporting their goods and services overseas. We have regional account managers who work to attract businesses, mainly industrial in focus or corporate headquarters, to the state. We also have specialists who work with particular sectors of the economy's particular industry clusters, such as the paper industry or the technology or the water council is a sector. The water sector now is an emerging sector for the state. and we have specialists who focus on those various emerging sectors. We also have community account managers, of which I'm one, who work with communities to kind of serve as a liaison through two WEDC resources as well as other resources available to communities for economic development.
Would you be our account manager?
I am your account manager. I'm located, I should tell you this, I'm located in the Global Water Center, which is in the Fifth Ward or Walker's Point area of Milwaukee. And we have six staff in that facility. One from the international business area, two from who are regional account managers who work with business attraction and recruitment, and one from the business and industry cluster who works with the water sector and a few other sectors, another who works in with the minority business sector. So here you can kind of see the layout of our agency. I am in the area that's highlighted by the green arrow. I'm part of the community development team, and we also have an economic development team in our division. So we work in what's called an extended partnership, and companies are at the center and at the center of that partnership, and we try to build the support around it that includes local communities and county governments, WEDC, tech colleges, university system, regional economic development organizations like M7 that serve this area, trade associations, planning commissions, and industry groups. Here's the map of the community account managers. I serve the M7 region. You can feel real sorry for number two up there. She serves 28 counties of Wisconsin, 73 counties. Our job is to do outreach with communities. We coordinate technical and financial assistance to communities. We are specific liaisons to Wisconsin Main Streets and Wisconsin Connect Communities, which are two designations that I'll talk a little bit about. And we are also a liaison to other state agencies programs and other WEDC programs. So these are you don't need to know everything about every single program that we have in the community development area. I'm just going to give you a little taste of what we have to offer. And when you have a specific issue, you or your planning staff should reach out to us, and we can see what we can do to help out. These are the programs we have, and I'm just going to kind of glance over each one quickly so we don't take a lot of time. One program that might be of interest to you is the Certified Sites Program. If you have an industrial park that you are looking to market and develop and or market, this Certified Sites Program helps, it helps educate community leaders on what site selectors are looking for and what industries are looking for in order to make your community the most competitive that it can be. What are the best practices to attract industry to your community? It increases the competitiveness of your site to those site selectors, and it gives communities that have these sites exclusive marketing on our locateinwisconsin.com website. This is not a cheap endeavor. It costs nothing to apply. There's a lot of information that's gathered as part of the application process. But then if you're selected, there is a $12,000 fee that enrolls you in the program, and then you would work with a site selection team that would come and visit your site and help you with implement best practices in marketing and also to make connections for you for the site with site selectors. Another I'll touch on the Main Street program. There are several Main Streets in southeastern Wisconsin. One of them is Pewaukee. Pewaukee is a community that didn't really have a downtown. They had that, if anybody's been to Pewaukee lately, they had a street that was located on Pewaukee Lake. And a whole bunch of new, there were some old buildings there. It wasn't really a downtown. It's a downtown now. They built a downtown, and they did that in partnership with the Wisconsin Main Street Program. That they have been on Main Street since 1996, and you know, I guess if you were there in 1996 and you've gone to visit recently, you can see the change that has occurred over time using the Main Street toolbox. The Connect Communities program is kind of a Main Street light program. It's a technical assistance and networking resource for community leaders who are implementing downtown revitalization programs. And that is it's kind of a program where a group of people who are interested in developing a downtown, for example, can participate in networking events, learning, online learning, and even some in-person training. Then we have what's called the Community Development Investment Grant Program. And that allows us, we have $4.5 million a year. This is the second year of the program. It allows us to make grants ranging from $5,000 to $500,000 to implement impactful community development projects. They can range from planning or business attraction activities to, all the way up to the development of significant destinations or landmark buildings. And those are gap financing funds that are just put in as a grant to the local government, who then commits those grant funds to put into hard costs on a construction project or into a training or into a planning activity. We only cover up to 25% of any project as a maximum. And in many cases, it's far less than 25% that our funds would cover. We also have assistance for brownfields. If you have contaminated properties that are being redeveloped, and but for some assistance from the state, that property would not be developed. We do have up to $500,000 to assist with, for example, management and disposal of contaminated soils on a site. The Idle Industrial Site Program is for those dinosaurs of sites, such as big former manufacturing concerns or abandoned commercial properties of 5 to 10 acres or more. And our grant can be up to $1 million to stimulate redevelopment of that site as part of a redevelopment plan that has at least 75% of the financing already in place. This has an annual application cycle, and it will, I believe that the deadline this year will be October 31st. We also have a site assessment grant program, so if you have a troubled site that no one has been sitting idle for a long time and nobody will touch it because they think there may be contamination underneath, or you know, it might have been a former dry cleaner or gas station, for example, then we make grants up to $150,000 to communities, and we match one for one, dollar for dollar, their contribution. We also have the historic preservation tax credits. There are some X-outs on this slide. I was going to delete them, but I didn't want to delete them fully. So for properties that are on or eligible for the National Register of Historic Places, we do have a 20% state tax credit. And up until July 23rd, we had a 20% state tax credit for commercial buildings built before 1936. But as I don't know how in tune you are with economic development news, I'm in it, so I live, you know, I live it, so I'm in it. But on July 23rd, there was a moratorium declared for all of the tax credits, and then recently, at the end of July, they were reinstated, except for the commercial buildings built before 1936, and that is still on moratorium. So that's why I left it there because I'm hopeful that that will come back for moratorium. We also have several business growth programs. You just need to know that if there is mainly a manufacturer, although corporate headquarters that are growing or expanding in the state or moving into the state new are also eligible for these programs. Retail, however, is just generally not eligible for any of our business growth programs. We have what's called a I'm not going to go into the details of these because if you have a business that is a manufacturing concern that is either coming new into the state or expanding in its current location, then you should contact me and I will get you in touch with the right person who can kind of assess your needs and fit the business to the correct resource. But we have loan funds, we also have tax credits for capital investment in a facility or equipment or for creating jobs, for the number of jobs that could be, that would be new to the state. We also offer workforce training grants, industrial revenue bonds, and those. So as I said, if you know of a company that is expanding, that's your trigger to kind of initiate a conversation with WEDC. We have, and then I'm just going to kind of not even discuss the resources, but I'm going to page down and show you all of the resources that are available from other state agencies that we also want you to access to help your community grow and thrive. And there are just a number of these, and I will make this presentation available to you afterward. But DNR has a number of programs for recreation, for water management, DOT as well. And then the Board of Commissioner of Public Lands also offers financing for projects, economic development type projects also. So with that, before I wrap up, I have a couple of other things to add. I had a conversation with President Wilhelm earlier, and she kind of was asking about what other resources might be available for local government officials who are interested in learning more about what they can do in the area of economic development. And I just wanted to offer a couple of things. The organization WEDA, WEDA, Wisconsin Economic Development Association, offers an ED 101 training for local officials. It's a 3-hour training session that you can bring here to your local community and participate in. And you can just learn more about the jargon and the principles and the philosophy that is used in the field. And that might be something that you would be interested in pursuing. Also, in the WEDA Fall Conference is October 1st through 3rd in Oshkosh. And that's another opportunity to get in touch with what's going on in the economic development realm in Wisconsin. I think a good share of a day is going to be devoted to site selectors, site selection, making your community more competitive to site selectors and for site selection purposes. So that might be another item of interest to you. The final thing that I wanted to mention is that WEDC recently launched the InForce Network, which gives communities access to a business retention and expansion tool that is used to, it's not used to create or attract new businesses, but it's used to help you get a handle on what businesses are in your community and what they need in order to stay in the community and or to expand in your community, what they say they need, and it's an outreach and survey tool that you can use to connect with them. And I'm going to leave a fact sheet on that program behind with me, as well as on the Locate in Wisconsin, the Certified Sites program. And I just have a couple of binders here that also you can use with local businesses to help them know what's going on with our tools as well.
Great. Thanks, Ms. Berger. Just for the council's information, we did participate in the
Certified Sites?
Certified Sites program on one occasion.
Oh, you.
I'm looking forward to you.
Not the formal program. We did use some assistance.
Questions, council? Alderman Wilhelm.
So the programs that you have for training, is there a registration deadline, or the one is just offered for you to come in at our set time?
Right. That the ED-101 is you can bring it in at your schedule, and the other one, the registration deadline is, I think it's in sometime at the end of August.
Okay, and that's when in Oshkosh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it sounds like, you know, for the things that we're doing, there's a lot of these programs we should be looking into. I didn't even think about this when you mentioned the certified preservation credits. I don't know how that would apply to our downtown St. Martin's kind of area, but there are some older buildings, and so I know there's one particular building down there, and everyone just looks at that'd be great for something. So I don't know what the age of the building is, but I know it's been there quite a while. And brownfields, there may be some discussion where that might take place on some retail issues. There's you probably know about the state land that's been discussed, issues with that property. So you could assess that on behalf of the city, or is it you'd have to do it on behalf of the owner of the property, or how does that work?
Oh, the Brownfield Site Assessment mm-hmm. Grant? Yeah, actually, with regard to that Franklin, what was that project called? What was it?
Wait, are you talking about the state property that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or was it the county? Dump or something.
The county property is next to it, and then this is a piece of the state land that's for
right.
sale.
Yeah. So they approached the developer of that, or potential developer of that site had approached us to discuss whether or not they could qualify for either a site assessment grant or a brownfield development grant, and. You know, the deal never came together, so we didn't get that far. But theoretically, there could be some financing, some brownfield assistance for the redevelopment of that site. And as far as site assessment goes, we could talk about, getting that knowledge in hand in advance so that, whatever the end use of that site is, you know what's there. So that's something we could work on.
And then you talked about the Main Street program. Franklin doesn't really have a downtown either. So could you give us a little bit more about how that might work for us if we decided to do that? Is it an application process?
Yeah. I will tell you that that's something we should really just talk about more. Pewaukee was a unique case, I will tell you, because at the time Fritz Roof was the head of the executive director of WIDA, Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, and he was also the mayor of the city of Pewaukee, he was wearing two hats, and so he used his significant influence to allow Pewaukee to participate in the program. Usually, there needs to be a place, and there need to be people that are working to revitalize it. And at that point in time, Pewaukee didn't really have a place. They had kind of a loose conglomeration of something that could one day be downtown. So it's something that we should take a look at, and I'd be glad to come down and see what you have and see if we can figure out a strategy where we might be able to get something going there.
That would be great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Anyone? Alderwoman Mayer.
Any of those Main Street funds, would any of that be used for, burying electrical wires and beautifying things?
Main Street, the Main Street program doesn't have any funds. They just have technical assistance. But the Community Development Investment Grant typically is used for public-private partnerships. So we have had a couple of applications for pure streetscaping projects, for example, that were beautification and certainly would have stimulated economic development, but they didn't fit the program criteria, so we were not able to fund them last year. there needs to be some form of public-private partnership and co-investment from both the public sector, local government, and a private party or private parties to stimulate some form of private economic activity. So maybe not a PIT, but maybe something else related to that could be. I'm not sure.
Okay.
We're talking about.
Alderman Dandrea.
More importantly, on these grants, do you assist us in writing the grant so it will qualify?
So I do not write the grants. However, I'm not involved in the review of the grants in the formal decision-making process. So my role is to help you get the grant as competitive as possible prior to submittal. So often I go back and forth several times with applicants and ask them to make sure that they have included this or that I know this about their community, and I say, well, it would be much stronger if you kind of position this way or what have you. So I'm not a writer of grants, but I am certainly a reviewer.
So that would be an additional expense that the city may incur to properly write a grant to be more beneficial, or hopefully be more beneficial for us to possibly have a positive outcome on receiving the grant.
I guess it depends on what capacity you have internally to do that. Sometimes folks do hire grant writers. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes their community development director or their community development staff can put it together.
Okay. And then on these grants, is there a time frame of forgivability?
Actually, this is for the Community Development Investment Grant and the Idle Industrial Sites Grant. Those are both outright grants to the community.
Okay.
The community should set its own parameters for holding the private party accountable and could theoretically, making a grant to the project, then could theoretically recapture funds if the private party did not abide by the terms of the agreement.
So we as a community would have to have a kind of a loan disbursement program for the private parties?
There would be, it's a reimbursement grant, so
okay.
You collect the documentation from the private party and you submit it to us and reimburse that. And
then we can put the parameters on there if there's a match of a certain amount?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else of a more general nature? Catherine, thank you. Ms. Berger. Craig, you're going to introduce yourself to Ms. Berger on the way out there. So, is there a motion to adjourn?
I just want to know
if
there's anyone in the audience that had any particular questions that were sparked by... yes. We could ask them if they would meet with you in the hearing room, but we are moving into a citizen comment, so that it might be appropriate. They might want to address something at citizen comment, so I don't want to shoo them off into another room and then have us be discussing things. So maybe if
I can
you're...
leave cards and people call me, I'm
okay.
Available.
Thank you.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Any interest in a short break, or let's go?
I'm going to take my own. Go ahead and start running.
All right. 5 minutes.
Well, we are going into the council meeting next. So I just want to make sure.
Yeah. We've adjourned one meeting. We're going into the next one.
We're going to take like 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Right. Quarter till.